Chapter 24. As Nia waited outside the house with Romeo, she was aware of a growing buzz around the town in the build-up to the old gaffers. Richie arrived on time and they walked over to the car park together. She settled Romeo in the back of the car and then sat herself in the passenger seat next to Richie. Conversation was stilted, and Nia was glad of the rhythmic sound of the windscreen wipers needed now the rain had started, filling the silence. They approached the garage, and while Richie was outside the car, Nia suddenly realised this was her chance to look for the phone in the glove compartment. She glanced up, saw Richie was preoccupied filling the car with fuel, and she quickly opened the glove compartment and took out the phone. As Richie went into the station to pay, Nia switched on the phone and, to her relief, it came on and she was able to go straight to the photographs without a password. She quickly found the ones clearly of the accident. Some were of Ruby's car and some of Ian and Lucy's car. Nia sent a few to her own phone, realised Richie was coming back to the car and threw it into the glove compartment just as he was getting in the car.
"Are you looking for something?" he asked.
"No, thanks, I'm fine."
It wasn't long before they arrived at the car park. Richie went to get a ticket while Nia helped Romeo out of the car and put on his lead.
"So you're heading up the road," said Richie. "We're going in opposite directions."
"We are," said Nia. "Thanks for the lift. Have a good evening."
Nia left Richie and started walking up the road. She glanced back and saw Richie heading down the road and wondered for a moment if he was actually going to carry on and catch the red jet to his class. Maybe he had only met this friend a few times and really had gone back to his classes now. She turned into the main road leading to Northwood House. There was a small area of grass with some large trees. The only thing she could do was wait and see if Richie returned. If he didn't, then she would have to get a taxi home, and that would be that. It wasn't pleasant waiting in the rain, and she could feel it dripping down the back of her neck.
"Sorry, Romeo. I should have put your coat on you."
Just as she was starting to wonder if she should give up, she saw Richie come round the corner, walking along the road in her direction. Nia dived back behind a tree, saw him cross the road and enter a side road. As soon as he was out of sight, she also crossed and went into the road. Fortunately, he was walking purposefully, although she kept an eye open for convenient driveways to dive into. He turned into another road, and finally into a road called Haven Place. She reread the sign. Haven Place, why was that familiar? And then she remembered, wasn't that the name of the road where Jade owned a house? Suddenly she realised Richie had stopped and was walking up a driveway. She gave him a few seconds to allow time for him to enter the building and then walked down the road. She was surprised to see a rather old-fashioned-looking chalet bungalow, number 13. This was it. This was Jade's house. It wasn't at all the kind of house she'd imagined Jade owning or letting out, but why would Richie be visiting it? Nia took out her phone, took a photo of the house, and was still standing in a daze, staring, when she realised she could see Richie closing the curtains. Nia looked around. No one else seemed to be here. The rain was getting heavier. There was no point in hanging about any longer, and so she started to walk back to the town. But she was surprised to see Joe in the distance. She shouted his name, but he didn't answer. And as the rain was getting heavier, she walked quickly down to where she knew the buses stopped. However, once there, she felt exhausted, and spotting the taxi rank close by, she went over and spoke to one of the drivers. "Are you okay to take me and the dog?"
"No problem. Where do you want to go?"
As she sat in the back of the taxi, Nia tried to make sense of what she had just seen. That must be the house Ruby had followed Richie to. Ruby had been devastated. It had to be that Ruby suspected her sister and husband had been meeting in secret, having an affair. This was the betrayal Ruby had been talking about. Nia placed a hand on Romeo's damp head. Jade was pregnant. Could Richie be the father of Jade's baby? So many emotions filled her head. Anger on behalf of Ruby, shock that Jade could do this to her sister, fury at Richie, but most of all, deep sadness for the pain Ruby had been through. Nia was glad to get back home, shut the door on the close, take off her wet clothes, dry Romeo, and collapse on the sofa with a hot drink. Did any of this have anything to do with Ruby's death? Had Richie and Jade decided the only way to be free of Ruby was to kill her? Jade could have ensured a definite alibi at the rescue centre. It was Richie who was to kill Ruby. Somehow, he'd persuaded Ian to say they were swimming together. He'd faked the letter, gone down to the beach, and put the ketamine in Ruby's drink. Nia stroked Romeo's ears. Was that it? Was that what had happened? If that was the case, why would Jade be planning a termination? There were so many questions that needed answering. She leaned over and found her phone. She'd nearly forgotten about the photos of the car accident with all the excitement of the day's other revelations. Obviously, they had been keen to get the cars off the main road, and the photos Ruby took were when they were both parked in a lay-by on her side of the road. Nia made the photos as large as she could and examined them carefully. Surely she should be able to find some clue as to why this minor accident was so significant. On initial inspection, though, there was little to see. Ruby's car was scratched with a slight bump. Ian's far smarter white BMW looked more tarnished, mainly because the remnants of red paint from Ruby's car shone out like bloody gashes on his white paintwork. His car had all the comforts of an expensive car, with padded headrests and the smart leather driver's seat that was pulled forwards. On the dashboard, she could see designer sunglasses, ready for sunnier days ahead. Nia sighed. The photos told her nothing. She had just put her phone down when it rang. Without thinking, she answered it, and for the first time in days she heard Chris's voice.
Hiya. Thought we ought to catch up. How are things going?
He sounded so normal that for a moment she felt a rush of hope and wondered if somehow she'd got everything wrong. I'm doing well. How are things with you? She replied, trying to steady her voice. He told her some news about school and then coughed as if to clear his throat and said,
I understand you had a long chat with Safi.
Her legs started to tremble, her voice to shake. I did.
She only told me today. The point is, she got a lot of things wrong. I think I've reassured her. I am guessing you knew what she said couldn't possibly be true, but I just wanted to check everything was all right.
Nia felt her stomach clench, her head thumping. Actually, I did believe her, but I'd also promised Safi not to tell you what she'd told me, she said quietly.
Honestly, Nia, her friends have been stirring things up. You know what kids at school are like. I can promise you nothing has happened between me and Sean.
How do you explain the watch, then? It was obviously an expensive present.
I thought I told you the watch was a present from the governors.
No, you said it was from children in the drama department.
No, I didn't say that. That would be ridiculous. It was far too expensive to be from them.
Oh, I thought you said it was not as posh as it looked. She heard him sigh.
Love, you were in such a state. I don't think you were thinking or hearing straight.
But the child who saw you with Sean?
That is pure fabrication. I don't want to go raking it all up by doing some kind of witch hunt to find out who started all this, but it will be some little troublemaker looking for attention.
And what about Colin? He saw Sean's car. It's very distinctive.
It was parked outside on the road. Actually, she'd come round the night before just to give me some paperwork. When she went out, it wouldn't start. It was late, and so I gave her a lift home and returned home.
He paused and added,
I'm sure Colin can confirm my car was there the next morning. Apparently, she called out a rescue service the next day. I was in school, so I missed all of that. It's a shame Colin missed that.
She could feel him grinding down everything that had happened. Soon it would be a fine powder you could blow away. It was as if nothing had happened. It had all been in her mind.
I don't know, Chris. I believed Safi when she told me, and I've been so upset.
You should have spoken to me instead of brooding on it. It's definitely time for you to come home, and things can return to how they'd been. I know it wasn't working out for you being at home, but you know, you can still walk back into your old job. They're really missing you.
I'm sure they are. I brought in the most money there. I am very good at my job, Chris.
Of course you are,
he said, but she could hear that patronising tone he'd use with one of his staff who had just scraped through their assessment.
Actually, I've been working in a salon here in Yarmouth.
You have a new hairdressing job? But how? No one knows you there.
It's a long story, but it's good to work somewhere new, meet new people.
If you need a change, I'm sure you could get a job somewhere else down here. You have a few years' experience under your belt.
Nia gritted her teeth. She had more than a few years' experience. She'd been doing this job at a high level for a long time now. However, she knew none of this meant anything to Chris. It was his certificates that hung on the walls at home, not hers.
Look, I can't just drop everything and come home, Nia said. I have commitments here now.
You do believe me, don't you?
She bit her lip. In her heart, she wasn't sure, but she said,
Of course, it's okay. I just need to help Jade out for a bit longer.
The tone of his voice changed. It became sharper, more demanding.
Look, if you don't come home by the end of the week, then I am coming over there this weekend. We can have some time together. A few people needing their hair cut should not be taking priority over your marriage. You need to sort out your priorities. I mean it, Nia. If you aren't back here on Friday evening, I'm coming to get you.
With this, Chris ended the call. Nia knew this way he would feel he'd regained control. She could imagine him pouring himself a drink, satisfied with the way it had gone. What was she to make of what he'd said? Was he lying to her again, or was it possible that Safi had got everything wrong? She didn't have long to think. A text arrived from Safi, asking if they could video call. She rang Safi back immediately.
Oh God, Mum, I'm so sorry. I never meant to stir up trouble between you and Dad, she stammered.
It's okay, love. You were only doing what you thought was right.
I'm so confused, Mum. These were close friends who told me those things. I trusted them.
It's all right. You are not to worry. Once I finish my stint here at the salon, I'm going home. You see, me and your dad will sort everything out.
Nia finished the call. She'd assured Chris she believed him. Safi that she would make things work. But in her heart, she didn't know what to believe anymore.
She went out into the garden with Romeo, took a deep breath of the fresh salt air, everything clean and washed by the rain. One thing she was sure of, she had unfinished business here, and it wasn't simply the work in the salon. She had to find out what had happened to Ruby, and she meant what she said about keeping her word to Jade. It would be good to have a bit more time on her own as well. Of course, Chris had threatened to come over, but all she could do was hope he was bluffing.